Spirit. Last week, we've looked at sort of who he is and what he does, and we did a grand Bible overview last week. If you missed that, do listen online. And the reason we're looking at the Spirit is because we're all wanting to grow as Spirit-dependent, Spirit-led followers of Christ to empower us for mission and evangelism in the world. And today we're going to be thinking about welcoming the Spirit in our lives, being people who welcome the Spirit. The Bible teaches that we become hosts of the Spirit of God, that each Christian person is a host to the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to kind of play around with, this image of our hospitality towards God. We can be quite blasé about being filled with the Spirit or the Spirit in me. When we step back and we think for a moment, it's an absolutely extraordinary reality for anyone to live in. Being a good host, we experienced incredible hospitality this summer. We went to America and stayed with my husband's uncle and aunt, and we'd only really met them very briefly a couple of times years ago. And they were the most incredible hosts. The welcome, the genuineness of their welcome, the warmth of relationship that was on offer, even though we hardly really knew them. They were so prepared for our visit. They wanted a list before we got there of food that we loved, and they just stocked the place full. The trouble they went to. Have you ever stayed with amazing hosts? Everything they owned was at our disposal. It truly was. You know when people say, help yourselves to anything? And some people mean that and some people don't when they say that, don't they? And you can kind of get it wrong. But these people, they really meant it. They had this snack bar, this permanent snack bar in their kitchen, which was a sort of stand with glass bowls full of snacks. And it was there 24/7. And I spent my summer basically eating peanut M&Ms off this snack bar. And they were miraculously replenished. Like every half hour, the peanut M&Ms were overflowing again by some like M&M fairy. And it was truly the stuff of dreams. Here's an interesting idea from our passage this morning. It's to do with our hospitality towards God. The Bible uses language about God dwelling in us, that we become the dwelling place of God, God resident within us, Jesus abiding in us and us in him, God being at home with us, making his home in us. And there it is in John 14:23, the Spirit will be sent to be with you. And verse 17, the Spirit lives with you and will be in you. My Father, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, we will come to you and make our home in you. And Jesus is explaining the coming of the Spirit who will live forever in God's people. And this is a very new idea. We covered last week creation, decreation, recreation. But there's one aspect of it I just want to refresh our minds. You might have heard me speak about this before. Some of you won't have done. Because the people listening to this teaching were faithful Jews. They knew their scripture. They knew the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Father's empowering presence, his breath. And that since the fall, since our time of turning away and rejecting God, there was this appropriate separation. The pollution and the penalty and the kind of poison of sin enters the world. And there is a separation between the people and God. No, they're no longer intimately united. And it's an appropriate separation because God is so holy. The Bible describes his holiness as like a consuming fire. So it's kind of for the protection of the people that there's a sort of appropriate separation between God and the people. Because actually God's holiness is so pure, it's actually pretty dangerous to us. And so there was this primary place for meeting God. Throughout the Old Testament was the temple. They built a temple in Jerusalem. There's the ruins of it are still there today. You can visit them, pray at the wall. And it's literally a temple with the Holy of Holies, the very center where God's manifest presence is there. And pretty much as big as this, perhaps even bigger, a curtain. Imagine a curtain across that entire wall, as high as it was, 70 foot high, very thick material, a curtain to separate the sinful worshippers from the utterly holy, consuming fire of the manifest presence of God. Okay? The barrier, it's appropriate separation. And years, centuries pass by of worship like this. And then Jesus of Nazareth is arrested, put on trial for blasphemy, and condemned to die by crucifixion. And Mark is like our kind of Sky News reporter. And he's there, and he's installed two cameras at the moment, metaphorically, at the crucifixion. And one camera is outside the city walls at the place of crucifixion, almost like the rubbish heap of the city where the worst criminals are crucified by the Romans. And there's a camera on Jesus. And Mark records, he breathed his last and he dies. And then in Mark's gospel, we switch immediately to the camera that Mark has put in the middle of the temple, in the middle of the city, the heart of worshiping life. And he says the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Can't have been a person doing it, because that would have been bottom to top. From top to bottom, this separation between the holy God and the sinful worshippers is done away with, destroyed at that moment of Jesus' death. The penalty, the poison, the power of sin dealt with and defeated, and then this absolutely new reality. Now, it's an extraordinary reality, because it doesn't just mean that the people come to the temple and they don't need a curtain anymore. What it means is the people don't need a temple anymore to encounter the presence of the living God. It says in 1 Corinthians 6, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you've received from God. Those who love and follow Jesus become temples. You are a temple. I mean, you see it on kind of cheesy posters in the gym when people are, you know, pumping iron. You're a temple. Your body is a temple. Now, a lot of you don't look like those posters in the gym. That's okay. Spiritually, you're a temple of it. So you don't go to the temple anymore. You are the temple. You don't go to church. You are the church. If we bring Jesus here tonight and say, what a great church. Isn't it wonderful? We love it. He would say, this is just a building. Show me the church. These are the people. So wherever you are a temple of the living God. On the train, commuting, standing in the office, on your sofa, walking the streets, in a shop, hospital, you are a living, breathing, moving temple of the Spirit. It's absolutely extraordinary. It couldn't happen unless Jesus dies, unless that problem of sin is dealt with. But because he dies, it is our reality. And there we go, John 14, verse 17. The Spirit will live in you and be with you, and God will make his home in you. So this takes me back to hospitality. The question is then, if God wants to make his home in me, how welcome is he to do that? How wide open is the door of the mansion of my life for him to do that? Now, you might be sitting here today and hearing some of this for the first time. This might be new material for you, a new thought, new teaching for you. You haven't come across it before. How does it happen that God makes his home in you? Maybe you've been coming to church for a long time, but in all honesty, the kinds of things that Jane was talking about, it's like a foreign language. Your experience, in honesty, hasn't been one of welcoming the Spirit. You wouldn't say, well, that's something I've definitely done. Well, in the last book of the Bible, Revelation 3:20, Jesus pictures a person's life like a house. And he says, I'm standing at the door and knocking. And if you hear my voice and you want me to come in, you've got to open the door. So he doesn't force his way in. It's an invitation. So the way that we welcome the Spirit in is to kind of just open the door to Jesus. He just says, ask, and I will. That's all you got to do is ask him. It's a prayer. Lord Jesus, please come in to my life. I want to open the door. I want to say yes today. Now, Jesus doesn't force his way in. It's an absolute choice. The Holy Spirit is a bundle of paradoxes. One is that he's infinitely powerful and unbelievably gentle at the same time. So we've got all the infinite power of the living God and actually a total tenderness and complete gentleness. So he never barges in to anyone's life. He doesn't come in unless he's invited. Sort of perfect kind of guest, really. I had a nasty letter once from a debt collection agency. Don't know if you've ever had one of those. I had broken the law, and I hadn't paid the fine that was the punishment for me breaking the law. And this letter came through my letterbox telling me that debt collectors are going to come round and to reclaim goods from my house to settle the debt. And it was a really worrying prospect. Someone's going to appear on my doorstep uninvited and try and force their way in. Now, we don't need to batten down the hatches for fear that God is going to kind of come in, or for fear that there's a debt that we owe that kind of condemns us. And yes, there is a debt. Yes, there is a guilt. But God doesn't send his son to condemn the world. He comes to save the world and to bring nothing but goodness. When Philip Mockler brought his that tongue last week, he said, God says, I have nothing but love in my heart for you. That's absolute truth. Nothing but the love of God. No condemnation, no shame. And the debt has been paid. We owe it, but it's been paid in full by our Redeemer. And the perfect love of God casts out all the fear that we might have for what it would mean to us to receive the Spirit. So I encourage you today, if you've never said, actually, yeah, I've opened the door of my life to the living God and welcomed in the Spirit, there will be a chance in a few minutes' time to do that right here, right now. It's a simple prayer of repentance, turning away from all that we know to be wrong and turning to Jesus and trusting in him for his life and welcoming the Spirit as a good, loving God. If we're going to invite him into our lives, what kind of visitor is he? Is he kind of judging? Is he critical when he comes in? Because people who have been filled by the Spirit do seem to change. He doesn't leave you as you are. What kind of change? Is that, do you have those visitors, the special visitors that you go especially frantic to clean up? You know, the kind of back of the fridge cleaning type, you know, like twice a year, back of the fridge. My kitchen is, oh, is that bad? Is that good or bad? Am I supposed to clean my fridge? Is that okay? Twice a year. People have eaten from my kitchen and survived. So, but those kind of, you know, the anxious kind of visitors, they're going to come in, critique, judge. The Spirit brings to our hearts the truth that we are loved beyond measure. And he brings us assurance that we're God's children. That's one of his favorite things to do. Like Jane was saying, that sort of orphan spirit that we can sometimes have. We've all had such mixed experiences of earthly fathers. Many of us, not good experiences. So when we talk about the love of God the Father, that might be something we can kind of cognitively agree is true. But there's quite a different sort of package to be healed from that we can really receive the love of God the Father for us as his children. That's the work of the Spirit. He leads us to righteousness. He points us always to Jesus. When I was learning about this stuff, still am learning, but early on, somebody said the Holy Spirit's like a torch shining light on Jesus. He illuminates who Jesus is and convicts us of sin, but empowers us to make changes for the better. And the fruit of the Spirit, love and peace and joy and patience, however long you've been a Christian, we need more of that. We need more of the fruit. I'm glad you're nodding. We do, don't we? Who is not actually interested in more peace in their lives? Like, it's just more. Basically, that's the summary of the sermon. More, Lord. More, Lord. And we might say, yes, we welcome the Spirit. And in the normal week-by-week experience, he's kind of a visiting friend, the sort of friend where we're quite comfortable. They've come around several times. They can help themselves, make their own tea, you know, put the bins out if they feel like it while they're there, you know. But actually, it's very rare to have a friend where you say, access all areas. It's very rare to have a friend where you say, help yourself to my bank statement and my internet browser history. The Holy Spirit, the deal is, access all areas. Spirit, here's my bank statement. Rule and reign over my finances. Spirit, here's my internet browsing history. Rule and reign. Here's my bedroom door. basement, attic. It's yours. Access all areas. The Spirit is our friend, and he has only good purposes for us. So while it might feel like new territory of surrender, there's only good that can come from it. I remember when it kind of occurred to me, I'd been going along as a Christian, but it was sort of my life. I was worried about my career, my relationships, my studies. It was still kind of the kingdom of Ruth. To some extent, it still is. But the dawning realization was, it's not really my mansion anymore. And the verse that cut me to the heart was that one in 1 Corinthians 6, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. And the Spirit of God is the architect of the whole mansion. It's his. He's the owner occupier. He's paid the mortgage debt in full. The whole building belongs to him. And life in all its fullness begins with that truth. That God, this is kind of my life to live through you and your life to live through me. And what an exciting adventure. So there is more. For however long you've been a Christian, if you feel quite well versed in the spiritual stuff and you've heard everything I've said before, if you're new, if you're visiting, there is more for each one of us. More he wants to reveal of Jesus. More healing. More he wants to mend and attend to. More he wants to liberate us from. More presence and power that he wants to fill us with, so that we can grow in the ministry of Jesus and glorify Jesus in the world as we build his church. So, of course, we're going to be praying this morning to be filled with the Spirit. And what we're going to do is actually we've got a prayer, rather than sing a song, end the service, 99% of people go home and a couple of people come forward. We're going to make this an all-inclusive invitation to come and receive prayer ministry right now. And so we've got some people who are prepared to come and pray, a bit like communion, really. We're going to kind of just say, come forward. There are going to be three places at the front here. Is it three stations? There might be one at the back. Stewards, we haven't told you about this, but it's going to happen. And so Andrew's thumbs up. And so come forwards there, here, or here. There's no gluten-free options because it's not communion. And just as and when you're ready, come forward if you want to. Absolutely don't have to. Nobody's going to be pressurizing you or noting your name if you don't. But if you'd like to come and just have hands laid on you, not a conversation, just hands laid on you, a simple prayer. We're particularly praying Paul's prayer to the Ephesians, that you'd be filled to the measure with all the fullness of God and know his love that passes all understanding, that how high and wide and deep the love of Christ is for you, and to know that love in your heart and have faith with power in your inner being. That's the kind of prayer. So if you would personally like more, then do come forward. The band is going to play. And if you're not being prayed for, but you want to stand and sing, that's all good.